And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus is a bondage breaker. Under this covenant, Jesus has come to fill you with joy, and he is able to set you free.
Once again, we greet our listeners. We appreciate your tuning in, and we trust that this evening's broadcast will be a blessing to each and every one. Tonight, we'll hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message begun last week and taken from the first of Jesus' 7 sign miracles recorded in the Gospel of John. This is the second in a series entitled, The 7 Signs of Christ. Last week, we heard how the first of these sign miracles was performed at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and how turning water into wine signified how Jesus had come to change the joylessness of the old covenant of the law into the joy of the new covenant based upon what he would accomplish on the cross. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and listen as Pastor Brian brings his message of joy to a conclusion. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Cana of Galilee was packed with lessons. At Cana of Galilee, Jesus was signaling that the old covenant, he was replacing the old covenant, and he was replacing it with a brand new covenant. We ought to say hallelujah this morning. Because this covenant included us. This new covenant, he tells us right here, it's the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant is based on what Jesus did on the cross. All the terms needed to bring reconciliation between God and man were met at the cross. Jesus has mediated, the Bible says, he has mediated a new covenant. He has mediated it because all the terms that were needed to satisfy God were met at the cross, where Jesus shed his blood for your sin and my sin. Yes, that's hallelujah ground. Amen. And so 1 John 1:7 tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, in the Old Testament covenant was not really designed for joy, because in the Old Testament you really couldn't get forgiveness of sin. The most you could get is a covering for sin. And every day you'd have to wash. You were always washing. You were always sacrificing an animal. There was never forgiveness of sin. But I'm so glad I'm able to preach a gospel that there is now salvation because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us, praise God, from all sin. All my sins are gone. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus. He has brought us a brand new covenant. But guess what? This covenant, the wine, speaks of joy. Don't miss that. The wine speaks of joy all through the Old Testament. And for those of you who want some verses, because I don't want you to say Brother Brian is making that up, you can go look at Psalm 104 verse 15. You can do Ecclesiastes 9:7. There are a whole lot more you could look at. But in the Old Testament, wine speaks of joy. And when Jesus turned the water into wine, you see, when I was a kid, I thought he was just meeting the need. The people ran out of wine. And Jesus is just, you want wine? Here's wine. But I want you to realize this sign was much bigger than meeting a need. It was much bigger than giving these people some wine to drink. This is big, big, big stuff. Jesus was saying, I'm coming, I am bringing a brand new covenant, and joy is coming to the world. And so the wine is speaking, it's speaking of joy. The old covenant was deficient because it could not remove sin. But praise God, what we have received has removed our sin. Aren't you glad you have a reserved seat in heaven? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I have a seat in heaven. And I tell you today, my heart is full of joy. But the second lesson Jesus taught at Cana of Galilee is this: the world's joy always runs out. The world's joy always runs out. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 3. And when they, what? Ran out of wine. When they ran out of wine. You see, sometimes we think this is an accent. At Jewish weddings, they don't run out of wine. That's one thing you do not run out of. This was so critically important. I read somewhere that you could be fined if you ever ran out of wine at a Jewish wedding at that time. This was big. Everybody made sure they did not run out of wine. And it is no accident why Jesus shows up at a wedding that they ran out of wine. Jesus was teaching a lesson. The world's joy always runs out. Oh, I hope you're hearing me today. I hope you're waking up. I hope you're stopping with your cell phone or whatever you're dealing with right now. I hope you're hearing that God is saying that the world's joy, what? Always runs out. Some Christians believe there's no pleasure in sin, but you better believe there is pleasure in sin. If there wasn't no pleasure in sin, who would have started sinning? Am I right about that? The reason people sin is because it is sweet. Well, let's be real now. The problem with sin is that it comes at a price and it cannot last. Oh, I told you I was going to make you look at a couple of passages of scripture. So keep your finger there in John. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 this time. And we're going to go to verse number 24. And I'm only doing this because sometimes I want you to actually see that it's actually in your Bible, not just in mine. And for those using your cell phone, it's even on your cell phone Bible. Even that phone you're using, if you look at the Bible, it actually has this verse. And here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It says this: by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what does that mean? Remember now, Pharaoh was effectively the emperor, the king. Moses decides not to be the prince, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Did you notice what it said about sin? Some Bibles say, this pleasures of sin for a season. My Bible puts it, the passing pleasures of sin. The pleasure of sin does not last. But somehow the devil has tricked so many into seeking joy and satisfaction in the wrong places. Our culture is filled with people trying to find lasting joy in the wrong place. They're telling us, and I've touched on this before, pornography. There are so many young people hooked by porn, and perhaps you're here this morning and you're hooked by porn. There's so many young people and older people hooked by sex. There's so many trying to find pleasure in drugs. There are so many people trying to find, hey, I don't know what your deal is. What is it that you, where is it you are trying to find pleasure? God is warning you that wherever it is you're trying to find pleasure, it is only for a season, because the pleasure of sin always runs out. And the devil wants us to believe we're always in control. We were watching one of the Whitney Houston videos, not her video, her life story on TV this week. And it was just so heartbreaking to me. A person with so much. A person with so much going for them, millions of dollars, all the fame in the world, and she, here she is on drugs and all of this stuff, and she feels she was in control. The devil will always make you think you are in control. I can stop whenever I want to. Ask Whitney Houston if you can find her. She found she could not control it. And what a tragedy! She dies! You would have thought her daughter, her name was Bobby Christina. Sorry, I'm not up to date in all my these things. You would have thought Bobby Christina would have learned. Guess what? She couldn't learn because she didn't have control. The devil makes you think, I can go and I can stop at the edge anytime I want to. I can stop. You cannot. Young person, listen to me good. The devil has you. And he will let you believe you can keep going with the pleasure of sin. Hang you. But the pleasure of sin will eventually run out. And this is why this morning God has a message for you. This is why God is alerting you that you need to stop now. Some years ago, we had a little animal in our yard. A fearsome creature. He was about this high, very fat, wobbly, wobbly, wobbly. And of course, I looked at him through the window and I shook my hand in his face to think he was going to run. And this fearsome creature, he would not run. He just looked at me. Well, since you know that I'm not the bravest man in the world. In fact, my claim to fame is that I did rescue the family from a mouse. I did kill a few and take them out. But you know, how can you blame me? I'm a city boy. And here I am, a city boy. I was trying to become a country boy. I said to my wife while my sons were growing up, I said, honey, don't you think we should take these boys camping? And she said to me, if you want to go camping, pitch a tent in the backyard. That's so please don't blame me, all right? She said, pitch a tent in the backyard. But now as I'm reflecting on this story, I'm glad we didn't pitch a tent in the backyard, because since then we found out that there were foxes. Foxes have been in the backyard. So thank the Lord we camp right inside. So anyhow, this fearsome creature, turns out it was a groundhog. But of course I wouldn't kill him myself. So I called in the experts. And they came in, you know, they came in and they had a trap. And what they did, they laid their trap and they put all this good stuff that he likes. They had a whole trail of the stuff. It went right inside the cage. And you know what the little groundhog did? He came out of the hole from under the house. Used to eat some of our plants. But now here he was. He was enjoying the stuff. He was enjoying the stuff, and he kept enjoying the stuff. He enjoyed it all the way into the cage. Do you know what happened? After he went into the cage, the gate snapped shut. My groundhog, now I could come and look at him. My groundhog was caught in a trap. That's what Jesus is warning you about.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Listen, I hope you're listening. Some of you men, some of you boys, some of you ladies, you need to hear what God is saying. That the devil is setting a trap and he is going to let you. Oh, this is good. Ooh, ooh. One day you'll find out you are in a cage. I believe I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're already in the cage. Some of you know you are in trouble. Some of you know. Some of you have tried to get off of your alcohol and your booze and your drugs and your stop running from person to person. And you're saying, oh God, I wish I could find some way to get break this bondage of sin. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus is a bondage breaker. Under this covenant, Jesus has come to fill you with joy, and he is able to set you free. And I'm hoping and praying that this morning somebody is going to have the courage to say, Lord Jesus, I want you. I want you in my life. I want to follow you. I am done with sin and I'm coming your way, because I don't want to be one of those who gets caught when the pleasure of sin runs out. So what are the lessons we've learned so far from Cana? Number one. Jesus Christ came to provide a new covenant based on joy. Number two, we have learned that the world's joy always, always runs out. But third and final lesson, his greatest joys are saved for last. His greatest joys are saved for last. What a power pack. Passage this is. You know, you can slide over it, but there's so much here. His greatest joys are saved for last. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 9. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to them, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine for last. I'm so glad that I can tell you this morning. I told you I got saved young. I'm glad I can tell you that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Oh, young person, I want you to realize that, because, listen, you may run into some Christian and their face almost always looks like they're sucking on lemons. But you can't say that you have not run into a lot of people in this church who you can actually sense that the joy of the Lord is flooding their lives. And I'm here to tell you, I am one of those who can say without the shadow of the doubt that I am living in the joy of the Lord, and that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. But listen, 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 listen. You think it's good? You ain't seen nothing yet. Because God has saved the best wine for last. Are you hearing what I'm saying, my brother? The best is yet to be for the people of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. Hallelujah, Jesus is coming again. But you know, the NIV, in that verse where it says, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions, the NIV doesn't say mansions, it says rooms. I heard a preacher one time, old say, rooms, rooms, I don't want no room. He said, I've lived in rooms all my life. He says, when I go to heaven, I want my mansion. You see, here's the problem. If we're not careful, we have the wrong idea. Because what we want, we believe is that I didn't have much here, but when I go to heaven, I'm going to have my own mansion, man. You can come visit. I'm going to have my mansion. All of us scattered all over the place. You and your mansion over so and so. That's not the idea Jesus was trying to give. You see, in Jesus' day, after the betrothal, that's after like an engagement, but much more binding. After a young man was betrothed to a lady, the groom would announce that he was going to prepare a place for his bride. You mightn't realize that. He actually would announce it, that he's going to prepare a place for his bride. And he would return to his father's house, where he'd make additions to his father's house for him and his wife. We all saw some of these extended family properties in some of the ruins while we were there in Galilee. We saw it. That's what they did. And Jesus is speaking to a group who understood what he was saying. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to my father's house. But listen, before I move on, let me finish. So the groom went back to his father's house. He built on rooms for himself and his wife. And he wasn't allowed to skimp on the work. He had to use the very best. And not only could he not skimp on the work, he needed, get this, he needed his father's approval before he could consider the rooms ready. Oh, I hope you heard me. No wonder Jesus says, only my father knows. He had to get his father's approval. His dad had to say, the rooms are good enough. Go get her. Aren't you glad Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us? Amen. And I want you to know he's not skimping on the work. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's saving the very best for last. No wonder the Bible tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the imagination of the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Thank God he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Little by little, we're getting some glimpse, some understanding with the help of the Spirit of God. But no eye has seen. Listen, it hasn't even entered our imagination what heaven is going to be like, because he ain't skimping, amen? He has saved the best for last. Oh, some of you say, I don't care if I don't go to heaven. You're going to miss the very best. The very best. You're going to miss it. But here's the point I want to get across. Jesus is not really emphasizing that you're going to have this big mansion. Jesus is emphasizing that there'll be no isolation and loneliness in heaven. There's so many people who suffer and struggle with loneliness and isolation. There are people who don't even feel they're loved. And Jesus is letting you know that when you get to heaven, you are going to feel loved. There's not going to be any isolation. Heaven will be a place of closeness, a place of warm, joyful family relationships, because we are all going to be together in what? The Father's house. What a place it's going to be when together we will be able to live as the family of God. No fighting, no arguing. We are family in real truth. And we will have our Savior, the one who started, who inaugurated this new covenant for us by his blood, by dying for us on the cross. He will be there. What a time. What a time it's going to be. Oh, thank God the best is yet to be for the people of God. Are you sure you're going to make it? Are you sure you are going to be there? Young person, older person, you cannot afford to miss heaven. Jesus wants to give you joy now. Don't miss that. Jesus said when he was here on earth, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief, talking about the devil, he said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Listen. This is a morning of decision. This is a moment of decision. It's black and white. You have a choice. You can choose to stay with the devil who gives pleasure that will not last forever. The one who has come to steal, and he is stealing some of your lives. He has come to kill and he has come to destroy. You can choose to stay with him, or you can choose to come to Jesus, the one who loved you, the one who died for you, the one who mediated this new covenant with his blood. He mediated the covenant by paying the full price your sin deserved. He took all the punishment your sin deserved. He took it in himself. He paid. And so he has provided this brand new covenant. And today he says, listen, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You say, Pastor, what do I have to do? It's simple. What an amazing, oh, I'm glad. I see people preaching these stuff where you got to do all sorts of stuff to get right with God. Listen, the gospel of Jesus is as simple as this. Are you listening to me? The gospel of Jesus is as simple as this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It only takes faith. Faith to admit to God that you're a sinner. And faith to believe that Jesus died for you. And so you receive him. God, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Will you do that?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.